Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Neil Walker joins us.
Crowley, how you feeling? You doing all right?
We're working the electrolytes back in. Doing okay.
Yep.
Why is everyone laughing? I'm just trying to determine, do I want to tell the truth and then Starkey call off today because he doesn't want to sit in the chair? Or do I kind of lie and it sounds like... So I'm doing all right. We're playing highlights from the last year because our station was named the best in the country. Got a Marconi Award, the highest honor in radio. I bumped into PJ down the hall, who's the program director for KDKA AM. And he said, you know, it's because of what happened in 2024, not 2025. So we've been playing clips from the wrong year.
Mm.
Well, who cares? We still rock. Yeah. Let's go. And Doug Whaley's been a big part of it. He joins us every Wednesday from 9 o'clock until 10. Doug, where do we find you on the map today? You're like Carmen Sandiego. We never know where you're going to pop up.
Today I am in Greenwich, Connecticut. Right on the water. Beautiful area here. Real. I want to say this much. There's a lot of money in this area, for sure.
I was going to say, when I think of Connecticut, compared to all the other places you go, I was thinking, like, why did he get forced into going there? And it sounds like you weren't, and it sounds like it's a delightful time. Probably beautiful in the fall.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'm sitting here in the... a harbor right now, looking at water and some boats, and it's sunny and about 60 degrees. You cannot beat it. Great fall day.
Well, we love to hear that for you, Doug. We're in a studio. We were just getting pictures taken of us by Ben Tenuta, and now I can't see. The flash has blinded me. Doug, before we get into a topic that we talked about earlier in the show that I'm really interested in your opinion on, I got another question I'm interested in. Do you think that Thursday night loss was a one-off for this Steelers defense, or do you look at it and go, boy, I'm majorly concerned here?
I think it's a one-off, and the way I've been really thinking about it is on a short week in the division, I think it really comes down to, especially on the defense, that Tomlin and Terrell Austin, they go back to their basics. They don't want to put in new wrinkles or anything because it's such a short week. So anytime it's in the division, those offensive coordinators and those teams know what they're going to do, and that's how they can dice those guys up. So for me, I think it's a one-off, and I think now that they have an extended week with that mini bye, they can really put in distinct packages and defenses for the offense they're going to face. Again, on a short week, I think they – for the lack of a better term, go back to their base and say, we're just going to run these base three or four packages, which has been seen over and over and over again by opposing in-division offensive coordinators, so they know where the weak spots are, and then they just got exposed. My second thought about this, too, is let's really think, not only this year, in the last 2 years, what high-level quarterbacks have the Steelers really been effective with on the defensive side of the ball. That's, to me, is more the concerning part for me. When they get a high-level quarterback, that defense more often than not that I can remember is starting to get exposed.
Yeah, and just real quick, just as an example, Patrick Mahomes, great player. He also had his best game of the season against the Steelers last year. Right. Same thing with Jalen Hurts.
Right. Doug, what would you have done differently? What would you have done differently, thinking about the Cincinnati game, if you were the defensive coordinator, if you were Terrell Austin? Like, what would you have done differently, and what should change the next time you see the Cincinnati Bengals? Obviously, what they did clearly wasn't working.
Well, I think it's hard to say, because you can't say you stop to sell out the run, because then the corners that we thought were going to be able to handle that two-headed monster weren't able to do it. And then when you try to drop in coverage, then the run defense, which you thought was going to be able to stop the worst rushing offense in the league, was exposed. So whatever they were trying to do didn't work. And I think maybe we really have to start looking at the personnel now, especially on the back end. And I'll be the first to admit, I was the man standing on the table saying Jalen Ramsey should just lock down Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one, and everybody else have coverage, double coverage on T. Higgins, and we can mix them a lot of coverage and try to fool Joe Flacco. Well, guess what? Jalen Ramsey's not a lockdown corner anymore. You cannot put him on the number one receiver. His best attributes now is that jack of all trades, move him around, be able to go where the ball is in the air, try to make interceptions or make big hits. He is not that. So I will say I was wrong there. And now you start looking at, well, oh, you got Darius Slay. He's 34 years old, and now we're seeing it's a young man's game. And his ability to stay up with younger receivers is only going to decline the longer the season goes in. And Joey Porter Jr., we all know that's the same thing we saw in Penn State. So to me, the back end is just getting exposed for their lack of personnel decisions. And in the front end, at times, you just got to get prideful and say, I'm not going to have this team run against me. And they just didn't have that pride against Cincinnati.
Mike Tomlin referenced how much Micah Parsons is making in his press conference yesterday and says you got a game plan for guys like that. So far, has T.J. Watt lived up to the $40 million a season contract he's getting?
Statistically, no. I mean, you have to say it. And to whom much is given, much is expected. And a guy like that has to start being a more impactful player on the game. And everybody's going to say stats. Yes, stats, but also having attention drawn to him where other people can get stats as well. So, yes, he is not doing what everybody expected him to do. And the funny thing I was thinking about today is when a guy like that is performing at a high level like he has for a while, of course he's going to come in and say, I want to be the highest paid player. Never in the history of American sports has a highest paid player at his position that didn't perform well say, you know what, you guys overpaid me, I'm going to give something back. So good for him for striking while the iron's hot, but he has to step it up. And I look at it, he's a prideful guy. He's going to be somebody that's going to do whatever it takes to get back on the map, and he just needs that one game to really springboard him to consistent production.
Doug, do you think the Green Bay Packers are a good football team?
I think they're a good football team, but just like the Steelers, there's a difference between being good and great, and that's consistency. And you're not seeing it with Green Bay, and you're definitely not seeing it with the Steelers. And that, to me, is this game will be a great litmus test for both teams to say, okay, we beat a good football team. If we can continue to stack wins, then that's when we start getting into that great football team, that football team that can compete for a championship. And that's why I think this is a big game for both teams, because it's one of those measuring sticks. Now, whoever loses this, is their season over? No. But it really gives you some confidence that we can be a team that's really on par with us and then start being able to punch up.
Our executive insider, Doug Whaley, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. It is a Wednesday with Whaley. You can text us. Any questions for Doug? Brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doug, Aaron Rodgers is playing the Packers. We all know this. It's why the game is on Sunday Night Football. The Steelers are wearing their throwback uniforms. Starkey said this is the biggest game in Pittsburgh in like 8 years, biggest regular season game. And I think that's difficult to disagree with. How do you think Mike Tomlin handles that? Do you think it's something that he's acknowledging in front of the team? Do you think he's using it as a motivating factor? You know Tomlin better than us, so how do you think he uses this, if at all?
I think he uses it as in he's not going to run from the hype. He's going to recognize it, but he's also going to emphasize that that hype can end up being a distraction. And if you try to do something out of what we are asking you to do or trying to do too much because of the hype around this game, that's when you get beat. So recognize the hype, but don't play into it and do what you got to do. And you hate to say it, but it's that adage that do your job. Just do what you're supposed to do. Don't do more. Don't do less. And Bill Belichick says it, and I hate to repeat it, but it's so succinct of what is going on for this game. Do your job, and that's it.
Doug Whaley with us here on the Fan Morning Show on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I feel like we've got 50 pounds of stuff to get into a five-pound bag here with Doug, including two former Steelers quarterbacks getting ripped by their former organization or by their current organization. What are the ground rules for that? You don't typically see these kinds of things happen. We'll get into all that with Doug and so much more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a ton of respect for that organization. I spent four of my early years there coordinating Super Bowl, first game in this stadium before 9/11, close with the mayor, Tisch family. You know, they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mayer not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that change would have happened long after our game.
Man, Sean Payton taking a shot there at Russell Wilson. And this is going to get a reaction, but he knew what he wanted to do there. He also mentioned 9/11. I feel like he did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I was there. We get the feels. I mean, I was there for the game right after 9/11. By the way, Russell Wilson sucked. Well, we're criticizing you for that. Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. Doug, isn't there some kind of unwritten rule? Like, that seemed like a real deep pot shot from Sean Payton to Russell Wilson, and you don't get a lot of that typically, do you?
No, you don't, and it seems like it's happening more and more, and I think what he did was to give a little shout-out to the mayors and the ownership group, but to really cut at the heart of the brass there, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and Russell Wilson, so that's very interesting, and it's kind of on the same token of what Mike T did last week with Andrew Berry. And that the interesting part about that are these guys are going to see each other at league functions, like at the Combine, the Senior Bowl, and at owners' meetings. So this is something that's great for our business, but it's usually something that doesn't happen. And like you said, it's unwritten rule. You talk about yourself and what you can do and your team, you don't really comment unless it's in a positive light about someone else's organization.
Doug, what have you heard actually was the friction between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson? Like, what do you know anything that really went down that, you know, the public doesn't know?
I don't, but I can just assume by putting pieces together about the information that's leaked out. Sean Payton is a very task-oriented person that likes it his way, and Russell Wilson probably, in the way he came about and the way he was entitled before Sean Payton got there, Russell Wilson was, hey, this is something I have just as much pelts on the walls as you do, so I'm going to bring my side of it and let's try to collaborate. And Sean Payton's like, no, this is not a collaboration. This is, I do it my way. And you can't have your own office in there. You can't have your own people in here that are doing the nutrition and you're working out and all of that stuff, your wife and your kids. This is not a family affair. This is me running this ship, and that's where I think the heads butted. And then you add to the fact that Russell Wilson's skills had declined. And so that was just piling on the fire. And then, and Sean Payton, some people will say he deserves it. Other people will say, well, he's got the same record as Mike McCarthy. So but the public and the media is putting Sean Payton up as one of the best coaches ever. So he's going to run with it. And with Russell Wilson not playing well and his skills declining and his production declining, he can sit there and he's got a soapbox to say what he would said.
There's so many egos. I mean, shoot, in this industry, there's a ton of egos in the football industry. I mean, I think in order to be a professional athlete, you got to be an alpha. And if you're anywhere within the competitive realm, you've got to be an alpha. That being said, just zero accountability from Sean Payton when the following season, the Steelers go 10-7 to make the playoffs with Russell Wilson as their primary quarterback after Sean Payton couldn't make it work with him. Like, that dude doesn't look in the mirror, and neither does Woody Johnson. Doug, I don't know if you saw this, but Woody Johnson was talking about how Justin Fields can't complete a pass. That's even rarer when you've got the owner being that personally critical of one of the players on his own roster.
Absolutely, and I'm in the New York area because Greenwich is really a suburb of the New York City area, and it was big-time news because, like you said, normally you don't hear from the owners during the season. During the season, the head coach is the face of the organization. Every message from the organization comes through the coach. The owner rarely speaks. The GM rarely speaks. It's football season. The head coach is who is the face of the organization. For the owner to come out to not only speak, but to really denigrate the performance of the starting quarterback that he had to sign off on signing and paying is an absolute rarity. And it, again, it's great for our business, but it's something that I hope doesn't continue because there's just an air of being a professional to me. Everybody knows that Justin Fields struggled. Everybody knows that he had a bad two games. You don't need to put and pile on and kick a man while he's down. To me, that's just a lack of professionalism right there.
See, this is exactly why I think Arthur Smith is as good as gone. And it's not just about the performance calling plays this year and what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do this year. It's going to go into the fact that he got the most out of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson last year. Obviously, those guys have been benched. We just talked about, you know, their owners and former coaches coming out and talking bad about them. Arthur Smith deserves a lot of credit, but I think it's going to get to a point where it's probably almost there that he's going to be a head coach somewhere next year, Doug.
And I hope so, and he's deserved it. And the thing that is most positive to me, I think, to all Steelers fans is finally Mike Tomlin went out and procured the services of someone that is deserving not only to coordinate this offense, but has an upside and has something that can some other organizations are going to search for to be their head coach. And I hope he takes that same formula that came to the conclusion to hire Arthur Smith to hire his next offensive coordinator. Because, again, we've all talked about it. For a guy to have as much success as he's had in the NFL, for him not to have a coaching streak, and guys have had lesser success that have permeated the league with assistant coaches that have become head coaches, some of the varying success, it is a curious phenomenon. So I hope this gets him off the snide and he starts to have a coaching streak.
Well, I don't think that Terrell Lawson's going to get a job elsewhere, not after watching that Cincinnati game. And if he's cut loose, we'll see what happens there. But we really know it's Mike Tomlin's defense. And one of the things I haven't been able to square since the game on Thursday, Doug, is the lack of Nick Herbig. He played 29 snaps. He only rushed the passer on 19 snaps. Meanwhile, Alex Highsmith played 53. Mike Tomlin said it's because they wanted to stop the run. The statistics would actually indicate that Herbig's been better at stopping the run this year than Alex Highsmith. And we didn't see Herbig on the field at the end of the game, and we knew the Bengals had to pass. So what the hell's going on there in your mind?
I think it's, again, Mike Tomlin doing wordsmith to the media to hide the fact that they didn't do what we all think they should have done. And to me, in my opinion, Nick Herbig, he beats people off the line of scrimmage. His best asset is beating them with the first two steps. So if you have a team that is getting the ball out quick, why not get a guy that can try to at least get in the face of the quarterback as quick as possible? And that's Nick Herbig's game. Alex Highsmith is more of a run stopper, but also more of a pressure pass rusher. And I mean pressure pass rusher as in he's not going to beat you with his first quick step move, his first move with quickness. He's more of a game plan, put multiple moves together while he's always going towards the quarterback. He's always gaining ground towards the quarterback and pushing the pocket, and then really has a release move once you get to the apex of his rush lane. So that's the difference in this two, and not only in that last drive, but if this offense is saying we're going to try to get this off in less than 3 seconds, at least get somebody that can beat the guy right off the snap and at least affect the quarterback in some type of way. So to me, I know that was a misstep by the defense, and I would add, my question to Tomlin is, who is responsible for the snap counts of Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith? Is it the position coach? Is it the coordinator? Or is it the head coach? I just asked that question.
Who do you think it is?
It ultimately ends up with Coach Tomlin, but I'd like to hear his wordsmith on that one, who he would say.
Much longer to go with Doug Whaley, who joins us until 10 o'clock. This just in, the Steelers have been linked to one of the biggest names in the trade market by one of the biggest insiders in the sport. Who is he talking about? What'd he do?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL insider Jeremy Fowler, formerly of this parish, one of the biggest insiders in the sport, just put up a piece on ESPN.com, the 25 biggest names in the trade market. The number two biggest name behind Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals is Jaylen Waddle. And he writes, "The team does not plan to trade the player, but interest is there. While Miami could be tempted to trade players due to its 1-6 record, Waddle is a building block on offense. He's due $36.1 million in cash over 25-26, reasonably high in today's high-end receiver market. Multiple league execs, though, expect the Dolphins' no-trade stance to stand, barring a surprise. However, they put the chance of him being traded at 10% and the team fit Pittsburgh Steelers and New York Giants. Do we want that to happen?"
What would it be? What?
It's a lot of money.
17-ish. 17.
Yeah, if you're talking about splitting it up.
Splitting it up, yeah.
Or I guess that would just be next year's money. That would just be the 25, 26.
Oh.
And so you'd be spending then, what, $71 million on wide receivers?
No.
Doug Whaley with us now. Doran says no. I say no, too. Because it's not only the money, it's what you'd have to give up to get him. What say you, Mr. GM?
Yeah, no, that's the same thing I would say is, what's it going to cost you? Not only with cap space, but what capital are you going to have to spend to get that? And when you look at it, we all are talking about, hey, we need a number two wide receiver, but the offense is putting up points. The reason they're losing games isn't because they're not scoring. So, yes, you would like insurance for injury purposes, but I don't think you're in a position now that you have to go out, spend some type of capital, actually eat up more of your cap space, not only this year but next year, for a number two wide receiver. What, is he going to add 10 more points to what you're doing a game? I guess maybe if you're thinking you need that because your defense isn't going to stand up, yes. But I think the defense, and I'm sure they believe the defense will rebound and be able to keep other opponents not throwing up 30, 31 points a game. So I would say no.
Doug, would you look at it out of this lens? Would you look at getting a number two receiver just in case DK Metcalf gets hurt, and then that number two receiver can ultimately be that number one, and you don't really, you know, you don't really lose as much of production, say, if DK were to go down now and Calvin Austin's nursing an injury back? Where would they be at right now if DK was hurt? They would be with Scotty Miller and Roman Wilson.
Oh, I get it. That's a perfect – that's the reason why you want to go get somebody. But again, what is that price point? Everybody likes a person. Everybody wants Waddle, but what's the price point? And how does that affect not this move, but your next move in the offseason and the years to come? So it's a delicate balancing act, and I do believe Omar has a track record of making sure they don't overpay and getting most the best value for in the trade market. So that's one thing we really have to tip our hat to the front office, that they don't go over and overspend or extend themselves just to rectify the need. So it's a delicate balancing act, like I said before.
One of the rumors out there, this from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, is that the Steelers are looking for speed at wide receiver. So a guy like Rashid Shaheed, who had a 4.3 40 at the NFL Combine, who's been a big player in his career, would kind of fit that bill. What kind of player, if they were to acquire one at the wide receiver position, Doug, do you think they should be looking at? A speed guy, a possession guy, a bigger body? What do you think?
I think if the reports are true and they are looking for someone's speed, then that tells me that they don't have confidence that Calvin Austin can play 17 to 18 games a year, and he has proven it. So they want somebody that has the speed but more size to him. So I'm talking a nice size-speed combination that can take some pressure off of DK and the attention he is getting. Because if you have someone that can take the top off the coverage, you can't roll the coverage to DK. You can't double team DK because you have to have somebody over top, or this guy's going to, as they say, strike up the band as soon as he gets off the line of scrimmage.
Doug, is there any other position on the Steelers that you would be looking to trade or trade for?
Ooh. I tell you this much, if you look at it, tight end, obviously no. Running back, no. Quarterback, no. Offensive line, doesn't look like we need anything there. Defense, no. Wide receiver is probably, in my opinion, the only one. I would actually start looking for a DB. I would.
Wow.
I'm a little concerned about that, so I would start looking. I wouldn't overpay, but if I could get some young guy that we think or they think has an upside, and you can plug in now, get him in the system, and probably by the last quarter of the season, you start giving him some playing time, because that's where I feel it's going to be very interesting. It's where Darius Slay can be in that last quarter. Because older guys, it's tough to maintain that level of consistency, and maybe, hopefully this was a blip in the screen, the Cincinnati game, but if it's a trend where he continues to decline, I think you're going to need another one, just because you're going to move Echols up. You still want to replenish that depth.
Doug Whaley with us for one more segment when we come back. Gentlemen, I have never been more convinced that the Baltimore Ravens are cooked. I'll tell you why. We'll see if you agree. I just got lectured by our web guy Andy Lindbergh, our beloved webman, Andy Lindbergh. He says, I need to have my seat up higher. I need to stare into the camera when doing the show for video purposes.
He said you're like real low, right? You can't really.
It's the kyphosis. I do feel like a giant now. I can see myself in the frame. Look at me.
Yeah, you look different.
My feet are 2 feet off the ground. Like, no joke. They're just swinging. Meanwhile, we're supposed to take our headshots today. Ben Tenuta, our beloved photographer, was in here. And you're like, nah, I got to get a haircut. I got to look good for this.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be something that's like out there, I want to look good. Like, I don't want to just do it because of convenience. No, I'm going to look good if my face is going to be out there in my picture.
Meanwhile, no matter what I do, I'll be ugly. And so I took my picture willingly.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from. Me, on the other hand, ain't nothing you can do to this mug. Doug Whaley with us for one more segment. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Guys, I think the Ravens are cooked. They, according to the Baltimore Sun, have removed their ping pong table, their video game consoles, their basketball hoop, and cornhole board. They had cornhole boards from the locker room. Usually when stuff like this happens, when there's players-only meetings, stuff like that, it's usually the beginning of the end, not to mention only four teams in the history of the sport have ever come from behind, being down one game, I can't speak, having one win in their first six games to make the playoffs. And there are quotes from the Baltimore Sun that are damning here, guys. 25 players off the record, players and personnel, talking about the state of the team. One of the quotes was that the Bills game broke their spirit.
Wow.
I think Harbaugh's lost this team, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. If you have people talking about breaking spirits, it is the job of the leader of men on that team to make sure that does not happen. And it was a great observation. Once you start taking things like ping pong tables out of the locker room, is that the reason why you're losing? Is that the reason why you let the Buffalo Bills game get away from you? It's not ping pong tables and cornhole. It is the leadership at the top. And then obviously injuries. And I think something that a lot of people aren't really focusing on is the construction roster and the lack of talent that they've brought into that team lately, because a lot of these young guys that they've either drafted or brought in via free agency are just not panning out. And so to me, it's one of the things that I'll be interested to see if later in the year, one of their coordinators doesn't get fired, because that's the next step. Coordinator gets fired, he gets another one. And then next year, if it's a repeat performance, then John Harbaugh, I think, will be on not only in the hot seat, but might be out.
Zach Orr could go. I mean, that guy, that defense was bad last year. They brought in Dean Pease. It's been even worse this year. Doug, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, I would be remiss not to say congratulations on the Marconi Award and a little Whaley words of wisdom. You only have certain many victories in life. Go celebrate them. Celebrate the wins.
Damn right, Doug. We'll just get champagne sent to us by you here at the studio. That sound good?
We'll pop the bubbly when I'm back next week.
My man.
Nice. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Later.
I thought he was going to congratulate you on the baby.
Oh, he probably doesn't know.
That's kind of a bigger deal.
Probably forgot.
I'm very excited for you.
Thank you.
You're a great dad. You're going to be a great dad to this little one. We're going to miss you for the next couple of weeks, but jacked up to see this little Dickerson come into the world.
Me too. Me too. It's exciting. Boy or girl, don't know, but we'll find out probably this time tomorrow. It's crazy.
Holy hell.
It's crazy.
Do you think that Rochelle would be okay with you calling into the show mid-birth if it's happening during our program?
I'll just do it anyway.
Yeah, good luck with that, pal.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Good luck. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Harry, what the hell do we do now?
I wonder if you're going to give me as much airtime as Doran did when you were gone in Ireland.
Probably not, but somewhere in between, perhaps?
Oh.
Talk as much as you want. We're friggin' award winners. Every one of us. All right, good luck to Doran. Look forward to hearing the good news. We will talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Starkey up next. Goodbye. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 51, a low of 43, overcast. Tomorrow, same thing, high of 51, low of 43, but there's a 43% chance of rain. Okay, goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.